Chapter 15, The Ocean. Once again, Buck was riding the train westward. Except this time, he was not some scared little boy. Working with Hank and Bob had hardened him. He now looked much older. Buck bought a new handgun and holster. With the amount of money he had, he could not chance a robbery. Buck looked the part of a tough Texas cowhand, not some scrawny farm boy from Ohio. His boots, 2-inch heels, added to this illusion. Most folks would have believed him to be at least 17. The train ride was fun, but he soon became bored at looking at the seemingly endless prairie. He took a room at one of the stops and rested for a few days. There was little to do in this small town. The patient and bored bartender took the time to teach him how to play poker. All that these lessons cost were a few shots of whiskey. Nevertheless, Buck soon tired of this pastime and was ready to resume his westward trek. He had one more layover before the train entered the Rockies. The view from his window changed with each bend in the tracks. These snow-capped mountains were magnificent. He now understood the attraction of these giant peaks to the early mountain men. A man would have to be special to survive amongst their rugged glory. It would take both great physical strength and willpower to stay alive there alone for months on end. Buck knew that he had a lot more growing to do before he could try something as adventurous as that. When the train dropped out of the mountains, it was almost to the ocean. Buck was looking forward to seeing the Pacific. He had seen a picture of it in his school books. That illustration did not properly prepare him for the actual thing. Picture cannot capture the power of the surf as it pounds against the shore, nor does a mere image let you hear the sounds, the roar of the waves, or the shrill cry of the gulls circling high above. The sea had a smell of its own, a fresh, strange scent that Buck had never noticed on inland waters. Buck's first walk along the beach made him feel small and insignificant. As with the Rockies, this vast expanse of water seemed to stretch on forever. He felt as though something had drawn him to the sea. Buck was not destined to be some poor dirt farmer trapped in a small valley in Ohio. He was going to be a sailor, plowing the open waters of the seven seas. But how could Buck go from being a ranch hand to deckhand overnight? He needed to find a ship big enough to travel around the world. His thirst for adventure was too great to allow him to work aboard some small fishing boat safely near the shore. Buck wanted to travel far away beyond the horizon, to see firsthand all the distant, exotic lands that he had only read about. If the ocean was this different from its picture, Buck knew that those faraway lands would also be much more exciting in person. The West had been fun, but there had been a certain dull sameness about it. He needed more variety in his adventures. With nothing to hold him, it did not matter how long it might take him to see the world. Buck may spend the rest of his life at sea. The land had brought him only heartache. Surely, the sea would have to be a kinder place. After he spent some time riding the waves and seeing all that one man could see, then he might consider a life on land again. Those were brave and noble thoughts coming from someone who had never been to sea. His ride down the Mississippi had been on a flat, gentle-flowing river. Although powerful in its own right, that mighty river could not begin to compare to the force of an angry sea. His anticipated voyage, filled with sunny days and smooth sailing, was not to be. Buck soon learned to respect the deadly power of an ocean whipped into a tempest by high winds. He booked passage on a ship bound for the Hawaiian Islands. There he would head to the South Seas and then on around to Australia. Buck could not remember his geography well enough to plan much farther than that. He would find out what part of the world came next when he got that far. India and Africa were over there somewhere, but Buck could not remember what order these points fell along his path. His money should be adequate to get him around the world. If he did run short, he could work as a sailor to pay his way. This was an excellent plan, and might have worked if the sea had cooperated. Unfortunately, those deadly waters had other ideas. 2 days out from port, a storm cut short Buck's dreams of world travel. The wind started picking up about midday, and by nightfall the storm howled. Waves crashed down on the ship with such force that the vessel soon buckled under their endless attack. The captain gave the order to abandon ship shortly before it broke apart and sank. Panic broke out amongst the terrified passengers. People were fighting frantically for seats in the small lifeboats. The idea of women and children first did not apply to this mob. Men shoved children down and scrambled over them to gain a potential life-saving place in the small crafts. Many of the overloaded lifeboats sank shortly after they lowered into the raging sea. Each boat was supposed to have 2 members of the ship's crew, but terrified passengers forced these trained seamen out of the boats at gunpoint. These amateur sailors then lowered the boats at an uneven pace, dumping themselves and all those with them into the water. Many of the passengers tried to bring along their belongings. Apparently, these worldly possessions meant more to them than someone else's life. Because of this greed, several large suitcases occupied seats in the lifeboats instead of people. After the call was given to abandon ship, Buck started struggling up the stairs to the deck. The ship was being rocked so violently by the huge waves that keeping his footing was nearly impossible. As each wave swept over the deck, much of it splashed down the stairway. Taking on more and more water, the ship settled lower into the ocean. Buck had almost topped the stairway when a wall of water sent him tumbling back down. It took him 3 tries to make it to the deck. Once on deck, he struggled along the rail to where his assigned lifeboat was supposed to be. It was not there. A quick glance over the rail revealed what was left of the lifeboat, hanging by one of its mooring lines. The waves were smashing the small craft's remnants against the side of the ship. Only one of the lifeboat's passengers was still visible. It was Buck's cabin mate, clinging desperately to what was left of the small craft. Buck frantically searched the nearby deck for a rope. But by the time he found one and dropped it over the side, his cabin mate was gone. The man's grip had failed. He dropped into the angry dark water and never resurfaced. Buck escaped in the last lifeboat with just the clothes on his back, his boots, handgun, and a few dollars in his pocket. The rest of his small fortune now rested on the ocean floor, safely locked away in the ship's big iron safe. As they pulled away from where the ship had once been, many bodies floated face down in the sea around them. After the storm clouds cleared, the sun beat down on them mercilessly. They were tempted to drink from the sea to quench their unbearable thirst, but the 2 sailors in their party told them that salty water would only increase it. The survivors drifted for several days, with only the lifeboat's small supply of water and emergency rations. These ran out 2 days before a passing fishing boat rescued them and took them ashore. Of the 75 passenger and crew, only 8 survived the storm. It seemed that the ocean was going to be no kinder to Buck than the land. With no secret stash of money to give him courage, he would have to start over again from the bottom, alone and broke. His few damp dollars would not last long. Buck needed a job, and needed one fast.